Time to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser. Mayor Bowser, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, how does it feel to be the queen of D.C. sports? I mean, it must feel good, right? I mean, look at your record. Look at what has happened since you've been mayor. I mean, you helped spur economic growth by delivering Audi Field, the Care First Arena in Southeast, the transformation of Capital One, and now, as long as the city council approves it, a new stadium for the Washington Commanders on the RFK site. It's been sitting vacant for so long.
Have you ever sat next to Roger Goodell before?
Oh, I have sat next to Roger Goodell before, but not like this.
Right.
Not when he addressed the crowd and said that Washington, D.C. could be a site for a Super Bowl. I mean, that's a huge news. But I think it's also a reflection on how big this deal is, how great this deal is for the city, the team, the fans, the league, and how much the NFL wants to be in Washington, D.C. So we're really excited. We're grateful that we have a great partner in the Commanders as well.
So obviously it seems like this is coming together nicely, but there's going to be some obstacles that people have talked about, right, to kind of get the final votes that you need. We played some clips from one of the guys, you know.
Mendelsohn,
and, you know, sound reasonable to me. He just wants to see the plans before he can vote on anything. That sounds perfectly plausible to me.
For sure.
Do you feel comfortable that you'll be able to convince the remaining potential holdouts?
Well, listen, I have briefed most of the members of the council, including the chairman, all along. And, you know, I've been mayor for 10 years. And in my very first speech to the residents of the District of Columbia, I said I wanted to bring a Super Bowl to Washington, D.C. We have been very transparent about how important it is to bring our team home. And we have earned the reputation as the sports capital. And you mentioned some of the great sports and entertainment investments that we've made. And yes, it's sports. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's games. But it's also dollars and cents for our city. We are a hospitality, sports, and entertainment economy. And even more so as our economy shifts, you know, there's a huge change, not of our making and not that we want, in the federal presence in the city. A lot of jobs will be impacted. And this investment is an investment in our future economy.
Mayor Bowser, were you stunned at the number that the Harris Group was willing to spend to get this deal done? A $2.7 billion investment, the single largest private investment in D.C.'s history, and that only 24% of the money will be coming from the city as far as expenditures to get the deal done. By comparison, Tennessee, there's 60% of their money is coming from taxpayers. Jacksonville, 50%. Buffalo at 49%. So for it just to be 24%, it shows the level of commitment that the Harris Group wants to get this stadium done back on the RFK site.
Well, my impression of Josh Harris and the group that he's put together is that they mean business, they're fair, and they mean what they say. And when I sat across a table from Josh early on, and I think we both kind of locked arms around this site, but we knew that we had to advance a great deal for the city. They knew they had to advance a great deal for their group that was feasible from a business perspective, like that we would both do the right thing for our teams. My team is DC and their team is the Commanders, but we share a value of doing what's right by the city. So I knew we had a good partner, and I knew if there were terms to be met, that we would find them. Listen, all markets are different. We think it's fair that the team invest in the stadium. We think it's fair that the city invest in the infrastructure on a public parcel, like we have done across all eight wards, just like the Wharf, just like Walter Reed, just like Navy Yard, just like St. Elizabeth's. Then the same will be true for RFK. And a point that I have to make is that not many of our public parcels come with a ready-made anchor. we have to go out and find an anchor tenant. Mm-hmm. And now we have a ready-made anchor, which means these 180 acres have a head start. And I think that bodes well for the successful completion of 180 acres.
I don't know if you can talk about this, Mayor Bowser, but if you're going to come up with the extra money to get this deal done, you know, and obviously construct roads and improve the metro and all of that, are you going to have to shave from other departments? How's that? Where's that money going to come from?
Well, we are investing from our capital budget. It's a very similar structure to what we just completed for the Capital One Arena, where the city would be the actual owner of the site, and the team would be a tenant, but responsible for all the construction and maintenance of the building. And we have a $10 billion capital budget. This represents $500 million of that. The roads and all of that come from our roads budget, also part of our capital budget. But just to give you some context, in this current budget, we will include the $856 million in capital expenses. We will have over $2 billion in school construction in that same budget. We'll have over $2 billion in road construction in that same budget. So yes, it's a piece, but relative to everything else we do for the city, we think it's a legitimate part of a $10 billion capital expense.
Mayor, from my perspective, and I think from most of our perspectives, I mean, it seems from afar, not being an insider, like a home run for the city. I drive by that, you know, the old site, by the current site, you know, RFK, all the time. Yeah, it's, you know, it's an eyesore. It's a terrible look for the city. I feel for the people that live around there. Some of them, I assume, want it. Some don't. Will there be displaced people? I see you say there's going to be 5,000 potential new homes. How does that work?
So,
all of that.
You know, what's really important is get the picture of the current site out of your mind.
Okay.
Because that's the old way. You know, that was a 1960s structure, right? Mm-hmm. Where everybody drove, everybody needed surface parking. Some people walked from close by, but this was a car-centric America. Fast forward to 2025, where we have many modes. And we have in this city our own experience of transforming old federal parcels into vibrant places like the Wharf. We estimate, like if you just took the landmass of the Wharf, four wharfs could fit into the 180 acres of RFK.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So where we have hundreds of units of housing, where we have restaurants and hotels, where we have recreation activities and all forms of entertainment. And that's what the new RFK will be like. It will have a stadium, but it will be surrounded by a mix of uses that are vibrant and active 365 days a year.
Hey, by the way, just as a side note, have you privately, have they done any sort of official preliminary architecture plans that the secret insiders have already seen, or is all that still to be done?
It's really conceptual at this point. You know, what happens is a lot of architects and designers, some of which we've tapped or the team has tapped, others is kind of like crowdsourcing almost, that are just offering their renderings of what an RFK stadium could look like. Yeah, we have a very high design aesthetic for the stadium, I have to tell you, because it's a once-in-a-generation opportunity. It's in the nation's capital. It's on the monumental axis. When you go to the top of the Washington Monument and look east, you'll see the Capitol, and then you'll see RFK Stadium. So we have a very high design aesthetic to fit in with the neighborhood, to fit in with the monumental nature of our city, but also to offer a great fan experience. So it should have the best views. You should feel close to the field. You should be in community with everybody who comes. You should be able to support the small and local businesses who will be tenants. So we think it's a great opportunity. We want an award-winning design. We want it to be sustainable. We want it to be beautiful. We want it to be able to commune with the nature surrounding it. Part of the reason why Congress transferred this to us at, you know, only the cost of cleaning up the site is because we're also going to fulfill their parks mission of the National Park Service. So we'll have parts of that campus that are undevelopable right along the Anacostia River, and 30% of the land will also be able to be used for parks.
Are DC building height restrictions, do those come into play as far as the design of the new stadium? And also, like, aesthetically, do we see a stadium that's going to reflect like the architecture of some of the classic buildings throughout DC?
I think that's certainly on the table as an option. And if it's not exactly in the kind of classical architecture, it'll be complementary. I will tell you we knew was a big thing, but I am even surprised at how quickly the Frederick Douglass Bridge arches have become iconic of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't mind, I'm just going to tell you one person's view, if that's reflected in the building.
Talking to Mayor Muriel Bowser, who has been the mayor for 10 years, she just told us that earlier. I'm curious, this is something that has been talked about really for over 20 years. The previous regime wanted to do this, right?
Yes,
what was the
sure.
difference working with Josh Harris and Mark Ein and Mitch Rails in this group versus the previous regime? Why were you able to get this done now?
Well, I said it yesterday, and I wasn't, you know, he was sitting there, so I didn't want to embarrass him, and I certainly wasn't sucking up. But I think the sense is that Josh Harris saved the franchise. It's a storied franchise, but it was definitely spiraling down. And so I think he brought a new culture to the team, one that, you know, is rooted in, you know, his company's values, but certainly one that is reflective of a winning culture. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, they went like to the NFC Championship. They've been smart about their staffing and their, you know, recruiting. I'm not a football operations expert, but they seem to be doing a fantastic job. I think they've done a great job at reaching out to their fan base and winning them back. Even the legends, when you saw John Riggins at the event, you saw Coach Gibbs, who I understand had to turn around quickly from some other engagements to be there. Doug Williams, our MVP, was there. So I even think that the legends feel more engaged, and that says something, I think, about their outreach.
Mayor, I know you got to go. Just 10 seconds. The past regime sucked. We hated those guys, all of them. You don't have to say it. We'll say it. But I did like the lazy river idea around the stadium. If you could incorporate that, I'm just saying, I did kind of like that.
She's already got the Anacostia
like
River there.
I like it, a lazy river. What's better than a lazy river, Mayor?
Well, I think probably a lot of things.
Just keep it in mind.
She's not behind
that's
that.
That's just one person's opinion.
All right. As we said, it's all on the table. Thanks, Porch Junkie.
Mayor Bowser, thanks for the time.
Okay.
We appreciate it. No, you have to run. That's D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser coming off the heels of the press conference in D.C. yesterday with Josh Harris, Roger Goodell.
She doesn't have the same love for lazy rivers.
Didn't sound like it.
No.
I mean, who doesn't love a lazy river? Fantastic.
Maybe she just hasn't been on a good, real good
that's,
one.
That's yeah, possible.
Right. Yeah.
Is it possible? She's 52. Is it possible that she went to a dance because she went to Seton that you guys attended while you were at Dematha?
I mean, I don't know. It's
highly possible.
Did you guys have dances together?
Yes. I only went to one, and I can barely remember it. I think it was a sophomore.
I mean, it's possible.
So it was 86.
Games together or whatever.
You know what I mean? Are like colleagues, close in age.
What you call it, your sister school?
Yeah.
Correct.
It's possible.
And they would do the dances in the antler room.
Mm-hmm. I had to do the dance marathon every year.
Mm-hmm. Wait a second. You guys had a dance marathon?
That's how we
at the
raised
Mappa?
Money. No, it was a band program.
It was for the band. That's how they raised money.
Yeah,
you so fundraiser.
You would just stand there.
But they would shove you all the time because you had to make sure you're moving.
You had to be moving.
You had to be moving. Yeah.
So how long would you be shuffling your feet and or moving?
50 minutes at a time for 12 hours.
Oh, that sounds...
No, it was idiots.
Who was your dance partner?
Nobody. I just stood there. It was miserable.
Yeah. Hold on. You guys didn't even have a girl to
well,
dance
you could
with?
You invite girls. I mean, some guys that had girlfriends. I mean, you know, I'm like a freshman in sophomore. I didn't have a girlfriend. What are you talking about?
He's probably dancing with R.I.P. Jaron Mustaf.
I mean, I was just a...
No, he wasn't. Believe me, he wasn't there.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not hanging out with the band nerds. Yeah. I got hoops
R.I.P.,
practice.
But he wasn't there.
I got hoops practice.
No. It just was miserable. I remember I would just get shoved because I'd be like leaning against the wall. They were like, you got to move.
Yeah.
You got to keep moving. Stupid dance.
You guys couldn't go like door to door selling chocolate bars like everybody else?
We did that
too. They did that too.
We did that too. I didn't really do that. I just ate the chocolate bars and donated the $60.
Your brother went to DeMatha. You remember that?
Yeah. I mean, he had to do that dumb stuff too.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's kid that plays a sport, they do dumb fundraisers.
Do they still do, like, do Catholic schools do chocolate bars? Like, is that still a thing?
I don't know. No
Isabella goes to a Catholic school, haven't had chocolate bars.
Actually, my daughter goes to a Catholic school.
But there's constant fundraising. I mean, that's what the daddy-daughter dance is. It's a way for them to sell tickets to generate money.
I'm so disconnected from basic, like, the education of my kids that I don't know.
Everything's really fundraising. Golf tournaments constantly.
Yeah. By the way, won another golf tournament.
Very Shout nice. Out. What did you win? What was that? What was the prize?
I won my third watercolor of Norbeck Country Club.
Oh. Are you serious? That's the worst prize I've ever heard.
I have one of those.
You won one too?
Well,
you were in a group?
Mikey and I won the pickleball.
Is that what they get for the tennis?
That's what I won.
So that's funny. So for you won the pickleball thing, but you got a watercolor of the golf course.
Correct. What, are they going to give me a watercolor of the tennis and pickleball complex? No. They're going to give you what they got.
Right.
What they have on site.
What do you do
with them? You throw them away?
They're like framed things. I don't know. I got three of them. I'm 3 for 3, by the way.
Are they in the garage?
They're like in my workout room.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do?
I mean, it's just got to go straight to trash.
You would think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got from my realtor when we sold my mom's house. Very nice. Did watercolor of my mom's. I was like, what am I going to do with that?
I don't know. My mom's been staying with us and with my sister since she fell, right? Mm-hmm. So like a day or two after Christmas. Where are we? We're almost at. She's been to our house like twice since then. I mean, it really just occurred. I mean, we just throw everything away. Yep. She doesn't need it.
She
clearly.
Need it anymore.
She doesn't need it.
Yeah, she's getting along fine without it.
She's not there. She doesn't need any of it.
Yeah. You need to roll a big-ass dumpster out in front and just start
By the way, me saying this is giving her a nightmare because that's her nightmare.
Anxiety.
It's me saying that.
She'd be distraught if you got rid of those paintings in the living room.
Well, no, like a painting or something. Maybe you could donate that or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, most of it, just a house full of garbage.
The only thing that house needs, it needs one thing. A for sale sign in the lawn is what that house needs.
Eventually, it will have one, Kicks.
Yep.
You got somebody mowing the lawn? Does Chad drop by?
I started thinking about that the other day because now the grass is growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to mow last night.
Get somebody
on
that.
You're not going to go over there and cut it. That I do know.
No, I did that plenty of times as a kid.
If it's the abandoned house that has the grass.
I'm sure she has somebody.
2 feet high.
She had somebody doing it before, so I'm sure she has the same people.
All right, we're going to hook up caller number 9 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score a pair of tickets to round 1, home game 3 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals Wednesday, April 30th as they take on Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com. But 9th caller right now at 800-636-1067 wins. And don't forget, giving those tickets away once an hour all the way through 5:20 today here on The Fan. So keep listening.